seen a lot of changes out on the Yukon. When we first went out there, the water was much colder than it is now. And there were a lot more birds than there are now. It's really the trees, the bushes are really silent compared to the way it was when we first started fishing out there. And then a few years ago, there was so little snow for a couple of winters out there that there were no mosquitoes hardly at all. And this is all tundra, you know, wet tundra, lakes and streams and little ponds and whatnot. And we'd see maybe a dozen mosquitoes a day. And normally you're just batting the mosquitoes away constantly. So that's, you know, and with the mosquitoes went a lot of the birds. They just didn't show up.
And so the CCL is a national organization, obviously, and you got hooked in and have taken over leadership in Alaska.
Yeah, basically, at my second CCL meeting, the person who started our local chapter said, "My wife and I are moving to Illinois to be closer to the grandkids. Who wants to take this over?" And the next meeting, nobody else had raised their hand, so I did. And I said this because I just realized that this was a way too important organization and effort to just let it kind of fall by the wayside. And it's been tough because I'm doing things that I would never have felt comfortable with before. But I just realized that these things have to be done, and I'm going to stick my neck out.
What's the difference between 2017 and 2000 when Al Gore was talking about carbon credits, and it seemed to be an idea that was anathema to many people, especially Republicans?
Well, we're not proposing carbon credits in our proposal. Just to go over it real quickly, there's basically three parts to Citizens Climate Lobby's carbon fee and dividend approach. And the first part is the fee, which would be placed upstream at the mine, the wellhead, or the port of entry. And that fee would start out low and rise steadily so that basically the people and industries and governments would have a chance to anticipate how they're going to respond to the additional price through time. The second part is a dividend, which would be returned to American households, and that's what happened would happen with all the revenue, and it would be very similar to the permanent fund dividend. As a matter of fact, it was inspired by the permanent fund dividend, except that it would come every month instead of every year. That's basically because that's when people pay bills, so. It would help people make that transition from fossil fuels to low carbon energy. And the third part is a border carbon adjustment. And the border carbon adjustment essentially keeps us from exporting our pollution, exporting our jobs, exporting industries, and basically create a climate club for countries that are dealing with climate change.
When you say dividends, are you talking about every man, woman, and child, or every household, every utility account holder?
Basically, it would be different than the permanent fund dividend in the sense that it would be a full dividend for adults, but it would only be half a dividend for the first two children. And the reason behind that is that it's based on kind of the carbon footprint of a family. So adults tend to have a bigger carbon footprint and children have a smaller one. And with the idea that after a couple of children that your carbon footprint doesn't really increase a whole lot.
It sounds like you might be building kind of an incentive for people to want to support the continued production of carbon-based fuels. I mean, if we're pocketing money because companies are paying at the wellhead, what's the incentive for us to make personal decisions to move away from carbon?
Well, one of the incentives is to be a winner, to come out ahead with this. As the price rises, your costs are going to rise if you have if you're using a lot of fossil fuels, right? So if you're not cutting back on your fossil fuels, then you are going to end up paying more in costs than you'll get as a benefit from your dividend. It does seem like it's going in both directions at the same time, but basically cost is a much stronger motivator.
You know, I don't want to wade too far into the political weeds, but it just seems like a counterintuitive idea for the Republican Party to want to tax industry and then create a rebate system for the general public. It seems like a much more something out of Democratic Party principles, but there must be a sort of an elevator speech that the CCL has for Republicans to convince them that it's a good idea consistent with their party's values.
Well, I think that one of the reasons that this really resonates is the reason that dividends work, you know, resonate in Alaska. It gives everyone the freedom to make the choice about how they're going to do it. It doesn't mandate, okay, you've got to, you know, your power plant can only do this, and you're only going to be able to drive a car that gets a certain amount of gas mileage. I think that's one of the real strong points is that it gives a lot of individual freedom as opposed to instead of having the government kind of choose the winners and losers.
And our new presidential administration, and I want to say many Republicans aren't totally on board with the whole idea of climate science and climate change. Is there enough, I guess, economic horsepower behind this idea to kind of break down that sort of resistance?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing is more and more, you might say, cracks in the wall. Just last week, the Conservative Leadership Council, which is composed of some prominent senior Republicans, put together a proposal to deal with climate change. And it was really great to see this effort on the part of these senior Republicans to say, okay, let's step up and deal with this. This is the ball is in our court and it needs to be done, and let's do it in the best way possible.